today as we come and consider this passage here in John's Gospel, that you would help us to see the glory of this passage, to see the glory of Jesus. And just thank you again for all the things that have happened, including the commissioning service for Rod, and thank you for Maddie, and thank you for breaking bread together and even singing that fantastic carol, O Holy Night. Thank you for this time of the year. So, Lord, help us now. Help us to have tiredness removed from us and all the things on our mind that might be troubling us or affecting our memory or our mind. Help us to concentrate. Help us to be listening to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, before I start too, it's Peter Bennett. Great to see you. He's been in hospital for good to be here. Isn't it great? Yeah. I know we've been praying for you and you've been in hospital for 4 weeks, which is a fair time. Yeah. Rightio. Well, as you all know, I don't have to tell you this, Christmas is upon us almost, isn't it? And I can't believe that carols is tonight. And in 9 days' time, if you're a kid, 9 days, is Christmas Day. And have you ever noticed that one of the great themes about Christmas is light? You notice that? Light. Christmas and light seem to go together. I remember when I was a young kid, my mum and dad would take our family into the city to see the Christmas lights. And I'll never forget that, just the joy it brought, seeing these coloured lights. A lot of it was Christian back then as well. And then I remember when Colin and I had our own children, we'd take our kids in to see the Christmas lights, and you just see the joy on their face as they saw these beautiful lights. And as you all know, over the last probably 2 decades, people have not only gone to these places to see lights, but they have decorated their own homes up with lights. And I don't know if you do this, we often do this, travel around and see these incredible houses full of lights. You know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yep. So how come there's all these lights at Christmas time? It is interesting, isn't it, that the original and true Christmas story abounds with light. In the two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, we read about light. For example, in Luke chapter 2, we read that the angel came to the shepherds right when Jesus had been born at night time. And he was filled and clothed with the glory of the Lord, and light shone in those Bethlehem hills. That was light. And in Matthew chapter 2, we read of the wise men, how they were amazingly told by God to come to this place, follow this star. And this star, this bright light, signaled the birth of Jesus, the King. So light's involved in the story there too. But there's another reason why Christmas should be connected to light, and it's all because of Jesus. Jesus. In John's Gospel, he is presented very powerfully as the light. Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life." Jesus is the light. He came to enlighten us. He is our light. Christmas is about light and how we ought to get excited about that. And this morning, I'd like us to consider Jesus the light as we near Christmas. And let us also consider our response to the light and what our responsibility to the light should be if we are truly Christian. So let's begin with looking at Jesus being our light. I want to start off by saying to you all, have you ever noticed how different the starts of the four Gospels are in the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Mark is the shortest Gospel. It goes straight in to the life of Jesus, missing the Christmas story. Just goes straight into the ministry of Jesus and then into his death and resurrection. Matthew and Luke are the only Gospels where we have the Christmas story and where we have the mention of shepherds and wise men, Mary and Joseph, as well as the forerunner to Jesus, John the Baptist. But what about John's Gospel? John's Gospel is very different. He presents the heavenly Christmas story, not the earthly one. He presents who this one who came into the world, who he really is. We have one verse in John chapter 1 where Jesus' earthly birth is referred to. John chapter 1, verse 14. If you have your Bibles, it says there in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, that means Jesus, that stands for Jesus, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. What a verse. It speaks about him becoming a human, taking on human form. When he was born, he dwelt among us, and as he came amongst us, there was something very different about Jesus. What does John 1:14 say? He came amongst us and we beheld his glory. See, he came with the glory of God. He came with the glorious character of God. Two great words that sum up the character of God. God is gracious and God is true. And Jesus was full of grace and truth. Wow, what an amazing thing it is we read here in John 1:14. And you know, John's gospel, before we get to verse 14, explains very clearly to us why Jesus' birth, why him coming into the world was just so different to any of us who've come into the world. It was so, so different. These words in John chapter 1, 1 to 14, are very important words for us to understand. Who is this one who was born amongst us? Before we get to the word light, let's start at verse 1. We'll look at verses 1 to 3 of John chapter 1. What a beginning. It says there, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Can you imagine people comprehending this when we come to Christmas time, actually comprehending who this baby was? This is who he is. This is phenomenal, isn't it? This is telling us amazing things about how Jesus, his beginning wasn't when he was born like us. He existed before he came into this world. He's the one who was in the beginning of time, before there was anything. This is Jesus. This is the one who was born amongst us. I love that great prophecy from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the one that speaks of where Jesus would be born. And it says, Micah 5:2, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. Wow, what a prophecy. This one who was born, this Jesus, is eternal. He is the eternal one. He's always been. And he was there at the beginning. And not only that, but we read here that his connection to God the Father. He was with God the Father. And not only that, in his own right, he is called God. He is divine. And I can't help but say, wow! I remember when I first understood these truths way back. I remember first understanding when Jesus, I understood that this Jesus was no ordinary human or no religious leader. He's far more than that. This Jesus who was born amongst us is none other than the eternal one, the divine one. This is who took on human form. This is phenomenal, is it not? Is it not? Sometimes even if you're a Christian, we can forget these glorious truths in regard to who Jesus is. But then it goes on to say in verse 4. Oh no, verse 3, I missed verse 3. Not only is Jesus the eternal one, not only is Jesus the one who is God himself, but it says in verse 3 that he is the one who created us. He created us with the Father. Together they worked to create this beautiful world. And how wonderful that is to consider that this Jesus who was born amongst us is our creator. Isn't that phenomenal? The one who created all life came into this world and became a human being. I can only imagine angels going, whoa, this is beyond us. The one who is worshipped by angels. To see the angelic realm must have been so amazed to see this eternal one taking on human form and becoming one of us. And then in verse 4, it tells us there, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the first part of verse 4 tells us that Jesus is life. That's really significant. It's He who is the author of life, the fountain source of all life. We would have no life were it not for Jesus. When I think of that, I think of all the people who can't stand Jesus and who blaspheme His name. They have no idea that their life comes from Him. They are blaspheming the one who allows them to breathe and live and have a conscious state. All those sort of things, but they have no idea. This is Jesus. And before I go any further, as I think of all these things, can you imagine people, if they understood who was born amongst us, how if they understood everything about Christmas would just melt away except Jesus? Everything else is just, what is it? Froth and bubble. It's just fairy floss. It's just stuff that doesn't even matter. The most important thing is who was being born. It is Jesus. And why did He come? I love how the Gospel of John presents two big things concerning Jesus. The first one is in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men and women. He came as the light. The other great theme that develops very quickly, even in John chapter 1, is that Jesus came to be our liberator. He came to be the Savior. He came to be the Lamb of God who takes away our sins so that we can be forgiven and be made right with God. These are the two great things that the Apostle John, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to highlight to us. Jesus is the light and He is the liberator. And everybody on the face of the earth should be so excited about that if we understood how we need Him to be the light and our liberator. Have a look at Jesus being called the light. In verse 5 it goes on, and the light shines in the darkness. But the darkness did not... We have a bit of a translation thing here. My preferred translation would be, and the darkness did not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Wow, what words. Jesus is the light, and He came as a bright light, the glorious light, to shine in the darkness. What darkness? Our darkness. Our darkness. He came into a darkened world. He came amongst darkened people. What do we mean by these words? Friends, do we understand how lost humans were when Jesus came? God's people of old, the Jewish people, had lost the plot a long time ago. They weren't even ready for the coming of Jesus. And the world had gone off on a different tangent. We had lost all understanding of who the true God is, who we are. Not only that, some big things like where we're heading. We had no idea that our sin and all the stuff we'd done, we were in trouble with God and we were going to be heading for hell, judgment. We were blind to all these things, like a blind person heading towards a cliff. That's how we were. So when we say that Jesus is the light and the light shines in the darkness, what we're talking about is how Jesus came to help us see. John chapter 1 verse 9 says, He was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every person. What did He come to do? To enlighten us. To help us understand who the true God is. Not make it up as you go along. All these religions of the world, how many are there? They're all man-made. We got so lost in it all. But Jesus came to help us understand who the true God is and His amazing heart for us and who we are and our connection to God and our trouble and what God had done through His Son to save us, to liberate us. As the great light of the world, He came for this very purpose, to help us blind people see. Hallelujah. I just love Christmas. I love this wonderful truth that that's why Jesus came. I love how He came to be my liberator, but He also came to be the light to help me see. It's in that song we sang at the beginning, Amazing Grace. It talks about that. I once was lost, but now I'm fine. I once was blind, but now I see. Why? Because of Jesus. It is He who has enabled us to see. For me to understand this, I can get so familiar with these things, I look at it like this. Imagine if Jesus hadn't come. Just think for a moment if Jesus hadn't come. Where would the world be? Where would we be? Forgetting about how he's the only Saviour, the only one who can save us from our sins. Besides that, because he's the light, we would still be in darkness. We'd either be an atheist, or we'd be caught up in all these religions, man-made stuff, working it out as we go along, and be still totally lost. I am so glad that Jesus came into the world, as John's Gospel declares, as the great light. He is our light. Praise his name that he came. But now let's consider our response to that great light that came. I want you to look at John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. As I reflect upon those words, I want to say to you all that I find these words here some of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. Do you understand why that is? Do you understand the sadness of these verses? It says in verse 10 that Jesus, who has made us, and who has given us life, when he came into this world did not recognize their creator. They did not understand who it was. Instead, they rejected him. Not only that, in verse 11, according to his human line, he was born of a Jewish line. He came to God's people of old, the Jewish people. He came to them. They had all the prophecies concerning this coming of Jesus. But they, what did they do? They did not receive him. They rejected him. And we see that in the gospel accounts. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, it says. A man who was despised and rejected. Wow. What a really, really sad verse. This is the response of most people, including today. It still continues. We live in a great country, but the majority of Australians have rejected Jesus. They have not believed in him. They have not received him. But by God's grace and his patient work in us, and Rod, I know you can testify of that, and so can I. By God's grace and his patient work in us, not everyone is in that boat. There are some of us, and I hope many of us here, who have come to respond rightly to Jesus, the light. And I love how verses 12 and 13 tell us what happens when you respond rightly. Verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, friends, what is the right response? It is to recognize who Jesus is and to receive him. Don't you love that word, receive? To receive means to welcome, to embrace, to take Jesus into yourself. That's what it means. That's the right response. The right response to him being the light who helps me see, the right response to him being the liberator who sets me free from my sins is to receive him. It's to humble yourself. It's to humble yourself, to bow yourself before him and to receive him as your light and liberator. To receive him as your Lord and Saviour. That's the right response that is found so rarely in this world. What a promise, though, for all those who do. They become the children of God. There is no greater status than that. To be a son and daughter of the living God. And in verse 13, to be born of God. To be born of his Spirit. To be made a new creation in Christ. That's what happens when we receive Jesus. Why do so many people not receive Jesus? I want us now to turn to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, 19 and 20, I think these words really hit the nail on the head. John 3, 19 and 20. This is the verdict. The light has come into the world. But people have loved darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Do you understand these words? What the Bible is telling us, what God is telling us, is that we, as a people, generally speaking, have preferred to do what we want and to chase our desires and pleasures. And so what happens is there's a clash. Jesus is the light. We actually are in darkness. We're like nocturnal creatures. And when the light comes, what happens to a nocturnal creature? They run. And that is what we have in our world. We have people who don't like the light of Christ because they don't want to be exposed for what they do. Can you imagine for a moment if a person in their sin would be found themselves in the presence of the Holy God? They might talk it up with their mates what they do, but in the presence of the Holy God, they would feel so ashamed. They hate the light. And that's how we all are. Unless God begins to work in our heart, his patient and gracious work to help us understand our predicament. But again, going back to John 3:16-17, his right response. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. What a God! What a God of incredible love! He knew humans' response. He knew what we would do to him, his Son. He still sent his Son out of great love for us. God sent his Son not to judge us, not for this time that's coming, but to save us through him. What's the right response? Believe in him. To believe in him means to receive him, to receive him as our Lord and Savior. At Christmas time, what a great opportunity we have to declare the gospel and to help people understand that this Jesus came to save us and how to respond rightly to him. Well, I want to finish now by looking at something I also find in John chapter 1. And it's in regard to how we are to live responsibly if we are those who know Jesus. How are we to live responsibly for the light? And I see here in just three verses a wonderful example in John the Baptist. John the Baptist, not the one who wrote the Gospel of John, that was written by the Apostle John, but John the Baptist is referred to, and he is the one who was the great forerunner to Jesus. Have a look at verses 6 to 8 of John chapter 1. And I'm going to specifically look at these verses in the light of the commissioning of Rod. Rod, I want you to take in these words. We have a wonderful example in John the Baptist for all of us, but especially when it comes to ministry. Now it says here in John chapter 1, 6 to 8, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. Now I would say, first of all, before talking to Rod here, that every one of us who have come to know Jesus truly, we have received him. These are words for all of us. We're meant to be like John the Baptist. He is a good example for how we should be in our world. I don't mean eating locusts and wearing camel's hair clothing and all that, right? We don't have to do that or be in the desert. But you see the things that were key to him. It says here that he came to testify of the light. So let me put it to you this way. We are meant to be proclaiming Jesus. Do you know that? It's not a matter of just receiving Jesus. If we have received him, then we ought to be responsible to the light who has saved us, and we ought to be proclaiming Jesus, as John says, as it says here, so that others might believe. That's how it is. We're meant to proclaim Jesus. And in verse 8, it says, he was not the light, but John came that he might bear witness of the light. I love this. Here's another great thing. Proclaim Jesus, we also to be a signpost, pointing people away from self to Jesus. That's how you should see yourself. We are meant to be a great signpost as John the Baptist was. Remember when Jesus was coming and he had a whole lot of his own disciples around him and crowds around him? And what a signpost he was. He didn't say, look to me. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus. And we want to do the same. And the third thing comes from another verse, John chapter 1, verse 15. It says there, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Who was born first, John the Baptist or Jesus? It's a trick question. Jesus was never born, really. He was born in an earthly way, but he always existed. And John knew that. John knew that I came into the world like everyone else does, but actually Jesus existed before me. He knew that. And we ought to know that too. But you see how John speaks here. He understands things really clear. He understands who Jesus is. And he takes the position of being under Christ. That's the key. He positioned himself under Christ. So if I pull out those three things that I see with John the Baptist, I see him being a person who proclaimed Jesus, who pointed people to Jesus, and who positioned himself beneath Jesus. That's how every Christian should be. Amen, right? If we have come to the light. Do we have any understanding of who we've come to? That is how we're meant to be. We have received so much. That's how we're meant to be. But Rod, I want to say to you specifically, proclaim Jesus. Be a faithful speaker. Point people to Jesus. Be a faithful signpost. And position yourself beneath Jesus. Be a faithful servant. Be a faithful speaker, a faithful signpost, and a faithful servant. John the Baptist is a great example of that. So is the Apostle Paul. And may you be a good example to us as well, because we're meant to set an example to the flock in regard to how we are to be. And let us remember, it's not just Rod or myself. We are just fellow Christians who have been equipped by God with certain spiritual gifts to help all of us to fulfill God's call on our life, to help us to work together in proclaiming Jesus to the nations, pointing people to Jesus and positioning ourselves beneath him, because he's the Lord. I want to just say these last two things. One of the things that's important in faithful ministry is to challenge us all. I don't know where everyone is in your walk with God or even in your relationship with God. And it's important that we take time to consider this. We've looked at some great words in John's Gospel. I'm conscious of a world that is far from where they should be, far from God. And there are people in our own church who haven't got there yet. And I want to say, as we come to this special time of the year, have you personally come to recognize who Jesus really is? Have you come to recognize that? Are you convinced who this Jesus is? And if you have you come to receive him? To receive him means to embrace him completely. There are too many people who come to church who think that they're in, but they're not, because they have kept Jesus arm's length. They've kept living their own life with Jesus on the side. And that's not the picture of the Bible. The right response to Jesus is to bow yourself before him and receive him fully. He is your life. He is your life. He is to be your everything. And I feel that there are some here who've never done that. You need to receive Jesus fully. He is your light and your liberator. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And if you haven't done that, please do it today. And may you therefore, as a result, enjoy the great gift of eternal life, being made a child of God and being born of his Spirit. Praise the Lord for all that. May we all receive him. May tonight we have the joy of seeing people receive Jesus. May they open their hearts to him as well. We're going to sing the lovely carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. I love how in this carol it tells me about who Jesus is. Do I recognize this? It says, O Little Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. What words? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And in the fourth verse, it tells me how I am to receive Jesus. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the holy angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. What beautiful words these are. It's a beautiful carol. I know a lot of the carols are very majestic. This is a very beautiful, responsive carol. And we're going to be singing it tonight. Let's stand and sing together this carol.